Hello and welcome to German Suplex with me, Dieter Wiener, and this week on the show, we're going to get into everything Double or Nothing. What's going on, everyone? How are we all doing? It's Double or Nothing weekend, and we're going to get into it, but first I'd like to apologise for the raspy voice and maybe the more dulcet tones than usual. I had a work night out, bit of a, not really a heavy session, but kept me up later than I normally am, getting old now, people. But we're here to talk all things wrestling. And I am a little bit slow off the mark, like I say, feeling a little bit sluggish today. But it's Double or Nothing weekend, and that's what we're here to talk about. And as of time of recording, if you're keeping up with all things wrestling and wrestling news, we might not be getting one of the matches that's been advertised on the card. And that's MJF versus Wardlow. Now, to fill you in if you haven't heard the news, MJF no-showed a fan greeting, AEW Fan Fest for Double or Nothing, no-showed his meet and greet, and Fightful Select have been reporting that he's booked a flight out of Las Vegas this weekend. Sounds a little bit strange, a little bit suspicious, but all reports seem to say it's not a work. I personally, I don't know if it's just the cynic in me, very, very cynical about that. I think MJF is probably one of the best workers in the world right now. And not just in the ring, not just on the mic, but understanding how to manipulate the fan base, how to manipulate the media. Everything that he does, he's playing the game. And I know people always say that's what everyone jumps to nowadays. It's a work, it's a work, it's a work. But I think with him, he's very good at making it seem like it's not a work. Having all of these different outlets reporting these things, having people from AEW saying that, look, this is not a work, like, we're kind of annoyed here. I just think he's 10 steps ahead. He's playing 3D chess. So he knows how to get these things out there, and he does it on purpose. Do I think he probably wants more money? Yes. Now reports are saying that actually AEW have been trying to sit down with him and get him to negotiate for an extension on his contract for more money, more on the likes of CM Punk, Danielson, Bryan Danielson money. But apparently he hasn't sat down with those people at AEW trying to get him to have these meetings to renegotiate and add that extension onto his contract, which obviously they want. He's one of the biggest stars in the world right now when it comes to professional wrestling, especially in North America. So my point here is, I do think it's a bit of a work. Even those things there, they're adding on the more money things. And oh, actually, it's not the more money. There's things going on behind the scenes because everyone likes to speculate. This is what we do. We love wrestling. We want to get into the nitty-gritty. Personally, I think he will end up showing up on this show. I could be completely wrong, and if I am, I'll hold my hands up. Fair enough. If he wants to walk out that door, we'll see what happens, and that would be absolutely massive in the world of wrestling. If that does happen, I would feel incredibly sorry for Wardlow because, let's be honest, this babyface turn, if you like, and this run-up for him getting his hands on MJF has been absolutely fantastic. Wardlow's played his hand perfectly in this. MJF has done an MJF thing and made this absolutely brilliant week-to-week to watch just to see where the story goes. I think that's what MJF's absolutely fantastic at. But Wardlow's played a big hand in that. It would be very easy for this not to get over, and without Wardlow's skill set, this wouldn't be as fever pitched as it is right now, and it's probably the fight on the card that I'm looking forward to the most. So it would be a shame if it didn't happen. Like I say, I think it will, and my fingers are crossed that it will happen, but if it doesn't, I would feel extremely sorry for Wardlow, and it'd be interesting to see how they dealt with this. Could they do some sort of angle, because obviously MJF took the unprotected chair shot. Could they take the angle that he's not been medically cleared? Yes, probably not the best look for AEW if they do that, but I'm sure they could come up with something as to why MJF's not there and for them not to have that contest in the first place. So I think they could work around it if he doesn't come, to get Wardlow moving on here and then eventually have them clash somewhere down the line. But that remains to be seen. And we'll get into, well, actually, no, let's get into it now. Let's go with that he's there. What do I think is going to happen? What are my predictions for this? Personally, I think Wardlow's going to get the better of MJF. He's going to then be able to get his AEW contract. We're then going to get to see Wardlow having some music and just kicking ass and going on some sort of run, whether that be for the TNT title, I'm not sure. But I think it makes sense for Wardlow to go over here. I think if they didn't put him over, it would be a bit strange, because I think you can put Wardlow over here very easily and MJF can continue to be a thorn in his side. He doesn't need to just leave it there. And we keep building on that and building on that. And if we look at the title match for CM Punk and Cowboy, probably CM Punk will go over in that one, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. And then you have something going on there with MJF and Wardlow and CM Punk, and there's obviously the history there. And that builds off and builds off, and we can accelerate that as well. So I don't think MJF loses anything in defeat here. I think Wardlow kind of needs it to move him forward in the way that we kind of want to see it. And I'd like to see Wardlow going for some kind of title at some point. Again, I think this has been great for holding him off having to chase the title, because he's having to chase MJF effectively, and that's kept him very, very busy. And it's brought more attention to all of the athleticism that Wardlow has and all of the amazing things that he can do. And I think he's trickled that in nicely. And it'll be interesting to see where he goes next. Personally, what I'd absolutely love to see, Wardlow goes over. He then goes on to either chase for the TNT title, or we actually see the TNT title match going down with Sammy Guevara and Miro making a return in the Scorpio Sky Sammy Guevara match, just to actually get across what I'm trying to say there. Those two are having a match. Miro just comes in and just murks both of them, takes his title back. Miro goes on a bit of another monster run. Wardlow goes on a monster run, not with the title, and then those two end up meeting. And that's where I'd like to see this for now, where we could go and have Wardlow pushing for that. And I think that would be great, because I think eventually we want to strap up Wardlow. We want to give him a title. We want him to be the star that we all know that he can be. And I think that is how we can continue the rise of Wardlow in the way it's going at the moment. Because what you don't want to happen is Wardlow does this, the chase is always greater sometimes than after the fact. And I don't want the chase to be over here, if that makes sense. I want him to chase MJF. He gets what he needs to. He gets the AEW contract. Now he's got an AEW contract. What does he want? He wants gold. And I think we can go from there. It gives him that time to grow as a performer. He's not totally green, but we can get more and more out of Wardlow. He hasn't had to do the long matches yet. I know he can do those. We can see that he can do them. He's done them in the past, even with like Cody on television. But he hasn't had to do that. So it's how we build him to get to those points. And I think if you can have him up against someone like Miro over time, that would be a great feud. Some great matches there from two absolute monsters in the industry. And then that gives him the time to build there. He could do his thing there. He can move into another feud. And then later down the line, potentially looking at a world championship if he's still as over as he is now. The War Dog. Let's see what he can do there. But what else do we have on the card? So there's a few matches for me to pick from. You'll have noticed I'm not necessarily going to go in chronological order or the order I think they're going to happen. I think AEW is still deciding as well, based on the basketball game. If you've been reading the news, Tony Khan saying he wants to try and time it. So if you're watching the NBA game and you purchased the pay-per-view, that you'd still be able to see the CM Punk match. We'll see what he does there and how he manoeuvres around this, but I'll kind of do what they're doing and shift things around and talk through things as they kind of come into my head a little bit. So I think, what match do I want to do? So let's have a little look at the card. So obviously we've talked about MJF and Wardlow. We've got the CM Punk Cowboy match. We've got the Thunder Rosa title match. We've got Death Triangle versus House of Black. We've got Jade Cargill versus Anna Jay for the TBS title. We've got, I can't even remember the name of the match, Anarchy in the Arena between the Jericho Appreciation Society and Blackpool Combat Club with Eddie Kingston and Santana and Ortiz. We've got the Young Bucks versus the Hardys, and we've got the Tag Team Champions on the line, tag team titles on the line from Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus defending against Team Taz. and against Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. So maybe we start on that one. Maybe we start on that one, since that's where I've ended. So let's kick off with that one. Personally, going into this, I didn't really care, if that makes sense. Now, don't get me wrong, I love what Team Taz is doing. I think Hobbs and Ricky Starks are amazing. I've kind of loved them since day one in AEW. Ricky Starks is an absolute star in the making. For me, he should have been one of the pillars, if you want to refer to it as that. I think he's brilliant. I think he's only going to get better as the years go along. Superstar in the making, like I say. But I wasn't that bothered. I thought, okay, this will be quite good. And then obviously you've got Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland thrown in the mix there. Amazing guys, can do amazing things. And I think this week on Dynamite, they've kind of sold me on it. The build's not been great. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus' title run as a whole, not been fantastic. We've seen much better runs with these belts. So that's a bit of a shame. But I think, again, there's a bloated roster. There's a lot of things going on in AEW. You can tell it's a time of change as they grow and develop. They're 3 years old now. Things are definitely changing. Things in the back are changing. Obviously, Cody's no longer there. Kenny Omega, yes, apparently reports say he's still in the back sort of helping out, but he's not there. So there's lots of different things at play. And obviously, as the business grows, you have new people behind the scenes that we all have never heard of who wanting to have their say and move things. And I think we're just a bit of a flux there. So like a lot of things on this card, I don't think the build to this has been great. However, I do think the match is going to be an absolute banger. Now, kind of contradicting myself a little bit, saying I'm not excited for it, but it's more the build and the how the storylines have kind of come about. But if you saw the three-way match on Dynamite this week, you'll know we're in for a treat here. That match served its purpose perfectly. It gave us that little teaser of the things that we're going to get. And all of these guys can go, and I think, obviously, Christian being involved to some degree, I think he'll have a hand in producing the match, an agent in the match, if you like. And it'll just bring the best out of everyone here. I think all the spots are going to be well put together. All of them can deliver these spots perfectly. And I think they can do it in a way that isn't just a spot fest as well. I think they'll be able to construct something here that hopefully brings out more emotion than the build's got. Now, who do I think is going to go over? Not 100% sure. I'm hoping and praying that Team Taz kind of go over here. I think we need to further the Christian Cage Jungle Boy storyline a little bit here. So perhaps something where we get Luchasaurus is injured early on or something happens and Jungle Boy has to valiantly fight on and fight on, but he's just beaten down and beaten down. There's two other teams, both with their partners there, just beat down, beat down, beat down. And eventually he does take the pinfall. And then that becomes sort of the last straw for Christian Cage being like, look, mate, you're a bit of a loser. Jungle Boy, rightly so, being like, are you kidding me? I fought my heart and soul out there. And that leads to the feud there. Also, if we kind of write off Jungle Source with a bit of an injury, kind of makes sense as well because it puts him on the side. Because I think otherwise, essentially, if you had Christian Cage kind of turn on Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus was just spinning wheel kick Christian Cage's face off. So we kind of need to distance him from that feud in some regards. And it'll be interesting to see how they do that. And I think AEW sometimes can definitely do a better job than I kind of booking things. But something like that, I think, might happen. But hopefully, it will be sort of Ricky Starks getting that visual pinfall over Jungle Boy and those guys taking the tag team titles. Because otherwise, you could end up running into a situation where you've got Team Taz who are over, all the stuff they're doing is great, but they just keep falling at the last hurdle. And there's only so many times you can do that. And I'm not saying this is necessarily has to be the time they win it, but I think for me, you've got to kind of pull the trigger on them now. I think it's the timing is right. So hopefully that's what's happened. But that remains to be seen. And then sticking with the tag team division then, let's look at the Young Bucks and the Hardys. And again, I'm not going to lie, I did not give a shit about this. Really did not care. The Hardy Boys, for me, like, I grew up watching the Attitude Era and they were huge to me. Like, I've seen Jeff Hardy wrestle before and these kind of things live and huge superstars. Don't get me wrong, but the way they've been in AEW is just not doing it for me. I can tell their bodies are pretty wrecked. They've taken a lot of hellish bumps that we've all seen multiple times. And just the portrayal of them in AEW has not been fantastic, let's be honest. It's not been great. Not been necessarily what I want to see out of them anymore. And you kind of had the Young Bucks going, all right, let's do this again. they've done it in Ring of Honor. They've probably done it better than they necessarily could do now in ladder matches and those kind of things. And if you've read the Young Bucks books, you can tell it means a lot to them having faced them, especially in Ring of Honor. It was like one of the biggest draws Ring of Honor ever had. So very important in the Young Bucks history and the Hardys history and legacy. And I just felt flat, no real build. And then I'm not going to lie, I watched Rampage and I thought, you know what? This could be entertaining. I think the Young Bucks, what they bring to the table in AEW especially, and just in wrestling in general, I think they're very good at reading the room. I think they understand who their audience is and what their audience wants to see. And I think that they just understand what me personally needed to see. They needed to see that acknowledgement of the Hardys are here kind of doing a bit of a greatest hits tour, if you like. And they came out dressed as them. They brought Gangrel with them. Brilliant. What you wanted to see, it showed you exactly, look, we know this is what they're kind of be portrayed as on AEW TV, and we're gonna lean into that and we're going to take the piss out of them here. And they did it really well. They did all the Hardy Boys moves. They showed sort of like, look, they're slower than we are. They can't go like we can go. And that kind of thing. So I think if they can work within those parameters within the match, and you have the Young Bucks kind of taking a piss at the Hardys a little bit. Obviously, they're not going to come out and face the Hardys as the Hardys, but taking the mick out of them, like Matt and Nick Jackson never really failed to put on a show. I think they've done some multi-mans on TV that you've gone, okay, maybe you're a bit tired today. But I think they know how to construct a match. And I think this actually will surprise a lot of people, because I think the Young Bucks can build a match around the Hardys and what they can still do and how they can still do it. So when they actually do start doing the greatest hits, it'll actually pay off. Whereas I think the matches the Hardys had previously, it's just kind of, all right, let's get to a Swanton, let's get to Twist of Fate, those kind of things. Whereas this, I think the Young Bucks will be able to show, look, we understand what's going on here. Look, they can't go like we can. They'll do those things. But then when the Hardys switch it on, it'll feel that much more impactful. In terms of who's going to win this, I personally think it's going to be the Young Bucks. I think they're going to get a win. I think because the Young Bucks and the Hardys have gone up against each other in the past and in Ring of Honor, so you know AEW's got that footage that they could show, and they could sort of make this into more of like the rubber match, and then you'd probably be looking at the Hardys going over based on the past results. But I think because they haven't shown any of that stuff going into this, then I think the Young Bucks are probably pegged on to win it here. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully it'll be a good one. Okay, and then let's go up the card. Let's have a look. Let's go over the TBS title. Again, you'll notice the theme here. I think this is thrown together a little bit. I think Jade Cargill and Anna Jay can both go. Like, Jade Cargill, again, very green. Anna Jay, still very green considering where she is in her career. But I think they work well together. We've seen them in the past work well together. Did one of like Jade Cargill's longer matches in the past. So I think they can go. But again, I've got no real investment, which is sad, because I think the baddies as a stable, absolutely class. Jade Cargill is a star and she's elevating as a people to her level. So hopefully we can see that progress more, and hopefully AEW will stop just not giving a shit about the women's division, let's be honest, and write some decent stories, especially at this like mid-card title. I think there's a lot of good stuff they can do here with Jade. I think she's brilliant, and everything she's been given, she's turned to gold, realistically. So let's see. I think Jade Cargill wins again here quite comfortably. I don't think anything else could realistically happen there. I'd be very surprised, given the status of the baddies and the direction they've been taking. Feels a bit of a, let's put it on, we need to get this title on this card. I think they'll do a decent enough job. They'll probably be given a slot that's a bit of a cooler off slot, because that's what AEW seems to do with the women's division, which quite frankly is not fair and not right. But I think that's how this match is going to be used in the evening. Probably going to be not given a lot of time. Short, sweet, bit of a palate cleanser. That's how they'll treat this. So there's not really that much more to say there, which is a bit sad given the talent involved. Then let's talk about the one I always forget the name of, which is the Anarchy in the Arena match, which is a strange name, but there we go. We'll just accept it for what it is. I think this will be quite good. The people who are involved are all great. You've got Daniel Bryan, who's one of the best minds in wrestling, who will help put this together. I'm intrigued to see what spots they put in there that take the mick out of the sports entertainment side of things. Chris Jericho is obviously going to do something because he's a wizard. Don't forget, guys, he is a legitimate wizard and can do fireballs, okay? Don't forget that, or he'll come to your house and he'll throw a fireball in your face and you'll have some red on your face, literally. So, he's a wizard. So he's obviously going to do something like that. He's going to do something a bit silly. We'll see what they do with this. There can be some things they can do that are quite cute with this. And obviously they've got to hit some like classic WWE sports entertainment sort of like hardcore section. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think all in all, it's going to be good. Again, the build's not really hit home for me massively here. I've enjoyed some of it, not others. But again, you look at the performers that are involved in this and you can't have anything else other than some fun. Like, I think there's going to be some fun with it. I think Moxley's going to take some horrific bump, probably get put through some burning tables or something, probably set on fire by a fireball by the wizard. And we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see how they deal with this. But again, like I say, I think Daniel Bryan's going to be the mastermind behind this and put together something that we don't necessarily think or see coming, which is why I enjoy watching AEW so much. So I think we've got that one in the bag. I think that one's going to be, not classic, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun, a lot of violence. What more can we ask for from that? Then we've got the Death Triangle versus the House of Black. I think that's a bit of a sleeper one, if I'm honest. A little bit of a sleeper one. You look at everyone that's involved in this. World-class athletes, world-class wrestlers. They can structure a match. So I think this is going to be a little bit of a showcase for potentially having trios titles. I think we're going to just get some mad shitness. In all honesty, it's going to be crazy. I'm hoping it is anyway. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they can all put together. The House of Black, unfortunately, it's not really landed for me. I really want it to. I really like the sort of the dark underbelly of those kind of things and sort of the macabre and the metal side of things. But I just don't know. It's just not been greatly executed. Death Triangle are world class, so they're back together. So they're going to put on a show. So all of them together, we're going to get something good. Who do I think is going to go over? Not a clue. Not a clue in the slightest. If I'm honest, not a clue. Let's pick someone. Who am I going to pick? I'm going to say Pac's going to get the pinfall over Buddy Murphy. And they're going to have a singles feud somehow. I don't know. Terrible idea, but there we go. That's what I've gone for on that one. Then we've got Serena Deeb versus Thunder Rosa. And again, what are you doing, AEW? This should be one of the most talked about matches in wrestling. Like, both of these women, both of these wrestlers are incredible. They've been given no time. Thunder Rosa basically doesn't show up on TV. She comes out, and Tony Schiavone's like, here's a mic, and then they put a music on and try and cut her off. Like, it's a joke. Like, let's be real, it's a joke. Serena Deeb is one of the best wrestlers, full stop, on the planet. And still massively underrated. I think if you're into wrestling, you get it. You know her and you appreciate everything that she's done and everything that she's doing. And I'm worried that this is just going to be, again, another throwaway match. And I think these two will do the best they can with the time they're given, but I don't know if that crowd investment's going to be there because they've not been given the time to build this on TV. We just haven't had it. And I feel like they're going, oh, we'll probably run this one back and we'll do this and we'll do that. But, like, I need to care about the here and now for you to make me care about the future. And they haven't done that. And it's not great. And I feel sorry for the two women involved here and the performers involved, because this should be elevating that division to something else, a new heights, which they're both capable of. But they've just not been given the time. They've tried to do the best with the time they've had, which I appreciate, but they've not been given the opportunity to make the best out of this, which, let's be real, sucks. So let's hope they put on a banger and they, like, they show what they can do, which I think they will do. I think they'll both go at it and everyone will be going, listen, Tony, mate, you need to pull your finger out. You need to, like, stop putting them on in the graveyard shift or just giving them 5 minutes on a mic. You need to pay attention. And I think both of them will see that going into this. And I think they're going to hopefully put on an absolute banger. I just hope that the crowd there is given the opportunity to not be exhausted when this is put on, because it's going to be a long show, and again, it could be put on in a graveyard shift. So let's hope that the crowd's on their side and they win the crowd over and show the people in the back that you need to invest more time into this because it deserves it. Okay, and then the final one on the main card that I've got here, we did mention the TNT title. If I'm honest, do whatever you need to with that sort of stuff, with the Paige Van Zandt stuff. I just don't care. It's been bad, so we're not going to cover it. The world title match, CM Punk versus Hangman Adam Page. And again, that theme of the build's not been great to this. There's been some bits in the build that I've enjoyed. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's CM Punk and Hangman Page. So between the two of them, there have been some things. But you look at the stuff that Hangman's done in the past with builds to things, some world-class stuff there. CM Punk's whole run to this point, world-class. And now we're being said, well, actually, maybe CM Punk's a snake. And the story the whole time is this man's having to learn who he is again, redefine himself to become the best in the world again. Does he even believe it? And that struggle, and now that's just being washed away. And I think if you look online, that's how people kind of feel about it. They're a bit unsure either way, and not in terms of which way it's going to go, just in terms of what story they're fully trying to tell. And maybe we'll look back on this down the line with future things they do and go, okay, this is where we were spanning with this. But again, you have to make me care about the now to make me care about the future. And if you don't, that's on you. And I think the match is going to be good. Again, it's AEW. I think any match on this card could be an absolute banger. So I think it's going to be good. I think they've got to put CM Punk over here because the crowd's just not been into the split, which is probably what they were going to try and do. You split our audience down the middle. I don't think they've been able to get there. We'll see on the night in Vegas which way it goes. If that is what they do, we'll see what story they try and tell in the ring. I think that's going to be a really important key here. It's what's the story in the ring they're going to tell. I think they are going to do a bit of the one-upmanship and the trying to mirror each other and that kind of thing. I think it's going to be that kind of story to see who is better. But I think it's going to be the intricacies within that story of how they go about doing it and what direction this is going to mean for the future of that title is what's going to be the most interesting. So let's see. I personally think they're going to put Punk over here. I think they'd be foolish not to. But I think they've also kind of not killed the build to this, but pretty much, because this, the crowning of CM Punk after 10 months within AEW should be one of the biggest things in wrestling. And he doesn't feel like it. Just doesn't feel like it at all. But we'll see. We'll see what they can do on the night and how they can do this. Maybe they've got too much looking into the future and thinking about what they're going to do at Forbidden Door, but I just think the execution on this show of the builds to this, normally I'm into everything, I'm really into it, I'm engrossed, I'm listening to Tony Khan talk about it, I'm listening to everyone else, all over podcasters talking about it, I'm doing it and I'm getting excited, whereas I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward to it and I'll enjoy it because it's going to be some good wrestling, but emotionally invested into everything, nowhere near. This is probably the least I've been invested in it. AEW show, pay-per-view, and that's sad. Now, having said that, I'll probably come on here next week and be like, oh my God, it was the best thing I've ever seen in my life. I can't believe I didn't realise what they were trying to do there. But right now, where I'm at, I'm looking forward to the show. There's going to be some bangers, but I'm not as emotionally invested as I want to be. And I do think that's down to the booking, unfortunately, of the weekly television show. But what do you guys think? Let me know. Reach out to me on Instagram, Deets316 over there. That's normally where I check my DM. So hit me up, let me know what you think, and enjoy the show at the weekend. Thanks for listening, guys. And if you've got this far, I want to say an even bigger thank you. It means more to me than you'll ever know that you even listened to any part of this show. And if you enjoyed this, amazing. And I hope you come back for more. If you can subscribe, that'd be great. It really helps me out personally to get the show to more people and have more people listening, which is what I'd fundamentally really, really like from this. But if you've got something out of it, that's the main thing. I enjoy doing it. And if you enjoy listening to it, that's even better. So thanks again for listening, and we'll talk again soon. Have a great time.